Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel, presented by Mainstay Financial and Anna Lee Leonard, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Hi, this is Financial Advisor of the Year, Jim Brogan of Knoxville, Tennessee. You're listening to Winning with my good friend and colleague, Anna Lee Leonard.
You're listening to Winning with Anna Lee. Anna Lee is a retirement and estate planner, a member of the Ed Slott Master Elite IRA Advisor Group, as well as a sought-after speaker on such topics as income planning, 401k rollovers, and advanced IRA reduction strategies. When not working in her private practice, Anna Lee joins with other certified senior advisors to promote top-quality services to mature adults in the Pensacola area. Her goal is to help you prepare for and live comfortably in retirement. You can reach her office at 437-3127 or online at mainstaypensacola.com. Or call her now at 437-1620 on Winning with Anna Lee.
That's the truth on Winning with Mainstay.
That is correct. That is correct. How are you?
Bob, I am doing very well. It's good to hop in the studio every now and then. Jen is away, so I figured I'll go ahead and come on in and get back into it. It's been a little while since I've done the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Yeah, it's like it's good to get back to your roots, right?
Oh, it is. It's good. Although I guess technically my roots is more in the morning show that I still currently do.
Yes. Yeah. But I've done this with you. I guess it's probably been at least a year.
Wow, has it been a year?
It probably has. Last time. Yeah.
Bob, I know that when you and I first started doing this, it was when COVID, I think, was taking off. Yeah. It was before COVID, but then we had to deal with that.
Probably, maybe even a year and a half.
It's been about a year and a half.
Yeah.
But with that, since then, I think we are more we're more normal than we've been in a long time.
That, you know, as it says in the song, that's the truth, right?
That's the truth.
It is. We are getting back to normal. And, you know, a lot of things this weekend even, or our beginning last week, the end of last week, you know, we have the bridge. That's awesome. Right before Memorial Day. So I'm sure it was, I didn't make it out to the beach, but I'm sure it was a great weekend out there.
I did not go to the beach, but I did go to Gulf Breeze. My family's in Gulf Breeze.
Oh, okay.
Went to a birthday party on Friday, and then I went, or it was on Saturday, and then Monday I went to a Memorial Day cookout at my parents.
Good.
So that was very nice. The bridge is great.
Now here's the question. Would you have gone had the bridge not been open? Would you have gone to both?
I would have yesterday gone to my parents.
Okay.
The birthday party would have been a little bit more difficult.
Right.
Because I was walking in a parade on Saturday.
Right.
It was the Carnival Parade.
Yes.
And so, which was fun, by the way.
I didn't make it for that, but I hope it was, you know, I hope it was a smashing success. Was it?
It was. I think that there is still, not everybody's ready to go back to parades, I think, but there were still a lot of people there.
We've got one this weekend.
We do, this Friday.
Now,
we have the Fiesta Parade.
Now, guess what I'm doing?
What are you
doing?
Parade.
I am driving the Grand Marshal. I'm the first car in the parade.
You're driving?
I drive the old Lincoln. It's an old Lincoln town car convertible. I think it's from the 60s, but it's a vintage Lincoln town car convertible. And I drive every year the Grand Marshal of the parade.
How did you end up with that gig?
You know what? My good friend, Greg, owns the car. And he trusts me. How about that?
Well, if he's willing to trust you with your finances, then
that's right.
I would hope he would also be able to trust you with a car.
That's right. That's right. Well, it's a, you know, it's his baby. It's a nice sled, as they say. And but he's a car collector, and but I drive it every year. It's fun for me, and you know. Got to behave when I'm driving the car, right?
Exactly.
Okay.
So you're the one that's in charge.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's
right. You're leading the pace.
That's right. But the bridge, you know, the bridge opening up, I was talking to our station manager here, Kevin, and he said that he drove by Chick-fil-A and there was a line 7 deep of cars, trying to grab food. Hopefully, the McDonald's, Taco Bell, everything else will open. And the interesting thing that he pointed out was how these communities depend on each other. Gulf Breeze, Pensacola Beach, Pensacola, and all of these areas really depend on that bridge, obviously. But We've had the good fortune of being able to go to McGuire's without having to wait for 2 hours because so many people come across the beach. That's over now. There'll be a line there. So,
but also, that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, it's great.
I think I'm hoping that more people are going to start going back to work here in the next month.
Yeah.
Because these restaurants are really short-staffed.
Exactly.
They are really short-staffed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. But, you know, I think everything is good, especially locally with the bridge. And we've got, we had Carnival. Now, is that a one and done? Are we going back to Mardi Gras?
We are going back to Mardi Gras.
Okay,
and,
good.
And maybe we'll still have some fun with it in the future, but right. Mardi Gras will always be Mardi Gras. We just couldn't call it that because you're not going to have a Mardi Gras parade when it's no longer Mardi Gras.
Exactly, and there's some, you know, religious aspects of that. You just, I know, you can't really get behind Mardi Gras in May. So, yeah, that's great. And, you know, that's what we need. We need more parades. We need more festivals. This, for a town this size, I mean, we get it done when it comes to parades, festivals, and weekend things. I mean, it's amazing. Okay, so I want to hop into our topic today, and I came across a great article. It covers the age milestones. There's about 7 or 8 age milestones that will fuel and really dictate how your retirement pans out. So these are really retirement planning and retirement retirement associated age milestones. So I thought we'd jump in with the, you know, this is a long ways off for you, okay? But for the folks in our audience that are, you know, getting on in life, you know, those of us that are more mature, you know, the first age milestone for retirement planning is age 50. So Davis, do you know what happens at age 50? Do you know the great thing that happens? You don't. That's okay. You're nowhere near there. You're halfway there, right?
I'm 27.
27 years old.
A little over halfway.
Right. So at age 50, that's the first, you know, seminal age, is you're allowed to make catch-up contributions, meaning you can contribute more to your 401k. Your 403b, you know, a lot of things that begin with a 4. In addition, you're able to contribute more to your traditional IRA and your Roth IRA. If you are 50 or over in 2021, you're able to contribute an extra $1,000 to your IRA or your Roth IRA, so your traditional IRA or your Roth IRA. Right now, if you're under 50, you're able to contribute $6,000, and if you're over, it's $7,000. And as far as the 401k goes, your maximum contribution right now is $19,500, but if you're over age 50, you're able to contribute an additional $6,500. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. But the policy decision there is that, you know, you're getting old, and if you haven't taken advantage of it over your whole lifetime or your whole working life, then you're able to beef up those contributions later in life. So it's a good thing. All right, the second age, and I'm not going to spend too much time on this, is age 55. There are some rules, some IRS regulations that allow you, if you sever employment and your company has a plan, you're able to take what are known as substantially equal distributions for until age 59 and a half, if you choose to do so at the time of your retirement or when you sever employment from the company. So the magic age for taking penalty-free withdrawals from your IRA or any qualified plan is age 59 and a half, and most of us know that. That's the magic age where it's permissive. But if you leave your employer and they have a qualified plan, there are certain regulations that allow you to take money in substantially equal distributions when you are 55, and they are not subject to the 10% early withdrawal penalty that is usually associated with pre-59 and a half withdrawals. Okay, that brings us to the next age. The next age is 59 and a half, and we all know what that is. Permissive withdrawals from your qualified plan, your traditional IRA, your Roth IRA. You can actually take it out earlier with a Roth IRA, but I won't go into that in too great detail. There's a nuance to the Roth IRA where after it's been in there for 5 years, you can actually take withdrawals from that. But 59.5, for all intents and purposes, is the magic age for when you're able to take penalty-free withdrawals from qualified plans or your IRAs, Roths or traditional IRAs. 59.5 is important for another reason. If you have a qualified plan with your employer and your employer's plan allows you to take an in-service rollover, not an in-service distribution, but a rollover. Say, for example, Davis, your qualified plan, your 401k with your employer is worth $100,000. You are able at 59.5 to take a portion of it if the plan allows it at age 59.5. It just allows you to roll it over and manage it yourself. So we've covered three so far, age 50, age 55, and age 59.5. Okay, the next age, next important age, age milestone, is age 62. Age 62, for most of our listeners, is the age, the earliest age you're able to take Social Security. If you're working and you're taking it based on your earnings, age 62 is the age. You're able to receive Social Security benefits earlier than that. However, that is usually associated with some sort of possibly disability, death, things like that. But as far as your earnings-based Social Security distributions, age 62 is the earliest you can choose to turn that on. All right. Staying with Social Security, there's another age. It's either 66 or 67, depending on the year you were born. And if you were born in, I believe it's 1939 or after, all the way to about 1959, it's somewhere in that range, your full retirement age goes from 66 and slowly creeps up to age 67. For example, if you were born in, let's say, 1950 or 1955, but before 1959, your full retirement age is not 66 and it's not 67. It's 66 and some change. Maybe in those years, 66 and 8 months, for example. But age 66 and age 67, of course, it depends on the year that you were born. There's another age milestone, age 65. That does not have to do with retirement, but it has to do with qualifying for Medicare. Qualifying for Medicare is really centered around age 65. So not retirement planning, but certainly an important age milestone as far as receiving benefits. We talked about 66 and 67. There's only two more. We went over the ones, age 50, age 55, age 59.5, age 62, age 65, age 66 and 67. And now we're going to talk about age 70. Age 70 is the latest, is the latest that you can take your Social Security. So at age 70, it is no longer permissive. It is mandatory that you take your Social Security benefits at that age. So notice, Davis, the older you get, we move from permissive to mandatory. The last age is 72. 72 is the old 70.5. That is the mandatory, or what we call the required minimum distribution age. That is the age that you must take the distributions from your qualified plan money, your IRAs, your qualified plans with your employer, your traditional IRA balances. One thing I will point out, and a lot of people don't know this, Davis, how familiar are you with the Roth IRAs?
I'm actually now becoming more familiar with it.
Okay.
And I learned from Dave Ramsey what a Roth IRA is. It's tax-free. It accumulates over time depending on how much you are investing into it.
Right.
But for me, I finally started a Roth IRA a month ago. And way too late, I feel, but also if while I'm at least in my 20s, I guess never too late.
You're 27, and I think that's terrific. And you should be applauded for that. Now, I'll share this with you. Roth IRAs did not even exist when I was your age. I'm trying to think how old I was, but the year that that Roth IRAs became available or even existed was 1997. So we're talking 23, 24 years ago was the earliest that you could contribute to a Roth IRA. Now they're really almost second nature, but certainly they were not available to me until I was, I guess, really well into my, oh gosh, mid to late 30s. And I remember when they came out, the contribution limit was $2,000. $2,000 was your maximum contribution to a Roth IRA. Even more interesting is how they came about. During the year that Roth IRAs came into being, Senator Bob Packwood and Senator William Roth, I think Packwood was out of Oregon, William Roth was out of Delaware, they tried to increase the annual contribution limit on traditional IRAs. Congress would not pass what they had proposed, the bill that had been proposed, and the reason they, it would not be really passed or even considered was that it provided an immediate tax deduction for anybody making that contribution. And if they raised the contribution limits, they'd be giving more of a tax deduction. So as a compromise, an IRA that was called at the time the IRA Plus, it is now called the Roth IRA, was passed, and you could make an after-tax contribution to the Roth IRA with the understanding and really with the luxury of never having to pay taxes on it, not only while it's growing. And it's not growing tax-deferred. It is growing tax-exempt. It is tax-exempt for the rest of your life. Again, contributions are after-tax, and you get no tax deduction for making a contribution to a Roth IRA. However, all of the earnings, all of the dividends, the interest, the gains, everything are tax-free. In a traditional IRA, they are tax-deferred. You pay taxes on the entire balance one day, either you or your beneficiaries. No way around that. However, on the Roth IRA, you never pay taxes on it. So one of the things Anna Lee and I always share with our clients is the following: when we sit down with folks and we ask them, "What if we told you there's an account that you can make contributions to, that you can fund right here, right now, and everything you put in it, you never pay taxes on the earnings, the interest, the dividends, the capital gains, nothing. It gets even better. One day when you pull the money out, and let's say you're over 59 and a half and you choose to take balances out of your Roth IRA, you don't pay taxes on it then either." The other thing, and this is the last point when we talked about age 72, the unusual thing about a Roth IRA is there are no required minimum distributions for the original owner. So Davis, down the road, one day when you are, let's reverse those numbers. You're 27 now, you're 72, way down the road. You do not have to take this money out ever. Now, your beneficiaries do, but you do not. So that's a nice feature of a Roth IRA. I wanted to also share with our listeners, this is something that we've come across, I wouldn't say recently, but over time. The last bucket of money that you want to take money out of is your Roth IRA. We call that the golden goose of all of your accounts. Why would anybody take money out of an account that is growing tax-free for the rest of their life? There is no required minimum distribution at any time for that original owner of the Roth IRA. So that is the one you don't touch. I would go as far to say, as I have seen very few, maybe two times we've had a client actually take out money out of their Roth IRA. And the reason they did, they just needed the money at the time. They'd done a lot of conversions, a lot of contributions, and most of their net worth was tied up in their Roth. But that is the account you don't want to touch, really ever. It's what we call legacy money. Again, very few people touch it during their lifetime. They leave it to their beneficiaries, and then they have to take it out. But when they take it out, it's tax-free. Great opportunity for parents with children to make contributions to a Roth IRA on behalf of that child. The one thing you have to have to make contributions to a Roth IRA is what, Davis? What do you have to have? Begins with a J.
Begins with a J.
Job.
A job.
You
okay.
Got to have a job.
You would need a job to make money.
J. But anyway, the Annalee always says you have to have a J-O-B, okay? And you do. You have to have earned income. You cannot make a contribution to a Roth IRA without earned income. So, when kids are younger, you're just not able to make a contribution. They're not able to make a contribution to a Roth IRA. And that's why you see the UTMAs, the Uniform Transfer to Minors Act accounts, and some of the accounts that are really kind of built more for minors or those without a job. But once those kids turn 15, 16, or whenever they're getting a job and they have some earned income, that's when the Roth IRA needs to start. I can't think of a good reason why you wouldn't. The Roth IRAs are, as we say, the golden goose of all accounts. So anyway, just to wrap up, let me go through those ages again. And I know we're coming up on a break, Davis, but age 50, that is the earliest. That is the age when you can make catch-up contributions in the amounts of either $1,000 extra to your Roth IRA or traditional IRA, or in the amount of $6,500 to a qualified plan, say a 401k, a 403b. Age 55, we talked a little bit about that. That's where you can take penalty-free withdrawals from your company's or employer-sponsored plan if you sever employment. And again, those have to be substantially equal contributions, but they're pre-59 and a half, and the term is usually 5 years. So age 50, age 55. We're now at age 59 and a half. The in-service rollover option, if your plan allows that, and also the permissive withdrawals from your qualified plans or traditional or Roth IRAs. That's 59 and a half, and again, no 10% penalty at that age. It is permissive. Age 62, the earliest you can take Social Security. You need to consult with your tax advisor on when to take that. Your financial advisor will be a great help with that as well. But 62, 66, or 67, depending on your age, and age 70 are the times you take. You're able to take it any time in between. 62 is the earliest. 66 or 67 is considered full retirement age, and 70 is the latest you can take it. We talked about 65 Medicare. That's not retirement planning. But that is certainly some important planning. And then that last age, the old 70 and a half, it is now 72. That is when required minimum distributions or your RMDs are required. We're going to a break, correct?
Yeah, we're going to go to a break here in just a moment, and I know when we get back. Actually, I do have some questions about the Roth IRA that I just want some clarification on. Maybe we can get to that after this time out.
Sure.
You know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up.
All right.
And they stay there. And they say yeah. And
they say yeah. We need a singer.
We need,
you know.
When? I whenever I'm on air, I just, my singing abilities go away.
Oh gosh, I can't do it, and I will not do it. It's painful.
It takes an extremely brave person, and Anna Lee is that person.
Yes, yes.
She is that person.
And I mean, I just don't understand how people get that high in their voice. You know, it's amazing. But anyway, good song and good lead in. We are talking about Roth IRAs and traditional IRAs, contributions. We're talking about the milestone ages. We kind of wrap that up in the first half of the show. And we're just going to expound a little bit more on the different types of retirement accounts. And Davis, I think, during the break, did we get a question or a text?
We have a couple of questions, actually. So,
okay.
I know I had my question, but we do have one. They want to know, what are the differences in retirement accounts? And I know, and I that's a great question, because I have a lot of questions. I went with Roth IRA.
Yeah, I want to hear your question. Go ahead.
So yeah, okay. Well, my question is, when it comes to a Roth IRA, you say most of the time, most people just, you know, they leave it for their family. They'll pass on. They'll never use it. It's left to the family. But what if I'm 65 or 75, and I need some added revenue?
Right.
Maybe I'm retired,
right,
and I would like some added revenue. Could I withdraw from my Roth IRA?
Yes, absolutely. And I mean, Davis, at your age, and I have children your age. Okay, you're not, you know, just the fact that you're even thinking about it or asking a question of when you're retired is terrific. And you know, it's so difficult to fast forward to that time in your life. But let me tell you how it looks. You know, if we can fast forward, you know, Davis at age 65 or so, okay, you're going to have a traditional balance. It's going to be probably a larger balance than in your Roth. And I'll get to the reasons why later. But you're going to have a Roth balance. You've already got that. You've started a Roth balance, okay? When you are retired, and let's say you are retired at 65. Now, don't most people at your age say, I'm going to retire at 50 or 55? Isn't that true?
Most people my age say they're going to retire today.
Yeah, I know. I want to retire. We never said that back in the day. But I mean, it sounds great, and we certainly have a much shorter life expectancy. But yeah, my kids, and they're right in your, you know, right in your age group. You know, hey, I'm retiring at 55. And I said, okay, let's see how you're going to get there. So anyway, you can take it out, of course, in your 70s. You can take it out. It's permissive. You're able to do it, okay, anytime after age 59 and a half, all of these retirement plans, okay? But what it looks like, fast forwarding for you, Davis, you're going to have a traditional balance. 100% of it is going to be taxable. I don't know anyone that is having to take their RMDs that enjoys paying the taxes on 100% of what comes out of there. If you're over age 70 and a half before last year, you're having to take it. You're having to take RMDs. Of course, the R is required, and of course, the M and D is minimum distributions. But you're able to take money out. So then you say, okay, why wouldn't I just take money out of my Roth? It's tax-free. I don't have to pay taxes. That's less painful, correct? And the reason is, in retirement, the idea is that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket than when you were working a couple of years before, right? When you're working, you have the earned income, you're in a higher tax bracket than when you retire, because when you retire, you know, you're looking at Social Security and what you've paid into that and whatever you might be getting out of that. That will be taxable at 85%, most likely. Not an 85% tax, but 85% of it will be subject to taxes. And then you'll have a pension if you have one. And let's face it, those are going away. We don't see those as often. Certainly in public service, the pensions are alive and well. Working for local government, state government, or the federal government, there's typically a pension. But we don't see them as much in the private sector. And then you'll have exactly what we're talking about, the distributions that you are choosing to take before RMD age and whatever other income you have. So if I can paint the picture, let's say right now somebody retiring, let's say a couple years ago they made $80,000, $100,000 a year. All of a sudden they're retired, they have Social Security, and really nothing else because they did not have a pension. So maybe their income has dropped to somewhere around $25,000, $30,000 a year. So at that point in time, you may want to take money out of your traditional balance and go ahead and pay the taxes because you're in a much lower tax bracket. And remember, the standard deduction for a single person is $12,000. Actually, and then for married filing jointly, it's actually double that. What is that? 24,500. So 24,500. That's pretty good. So one of the things we like to do is make sure that any monies that we are pulling out of our traditional IRA or our Roth IRA are appropriate for our tax bracket. If you pull it out of your Roth IRA, you do not get taxed. But if you do pull it out of your traditional IRA, it's 100% taxable, not taxed at 100%, but it is 100% subject to taxes. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
Okay. So it's tough to put yourself, you know, at that age and fast forwarding, and guess what else might happen? The laws may change. It may get completely turned upside down, and things may change. You may have to take RMDs from your Roth. Who knows? Hmm. But anyway, if it were right now, I would bet you would probably choose to take money out of your traditional balance and preserve the beautiful sanctity of the Roth IRA, where you're never paying taxes on it again, and neither are your kids or your grandchildren or your spouse or whoever you're choosing to leave it to.
So I'm curious, if I start my Roth IRA, and let's say 20 years from now, my income significantly increases over that period of time. We had a text that came in and said, isn't it if you make 250 grand or more, you can no longer contribute to a Roth IRA?
It's a lot less than that. I believe the phase out starts at about 98,000.
Okay.
At about $98,000, you are no longer able to make that full contribution to a Roth IRA. So, what you want to do, and there are limits to making a traditional contribution to make a contribution to a traditional IRA. And those phase outs are, I think they're, you know, somewhere around $105,000 or something like that. And then for single, way, way less. The Roths are not, $198,000. There are phase outs, okay? Most people can make those contributions, okay? There is no phase out for what you're contributing to your qualified plan with your employer. You can make $500,000 a year and you can still contribute, you know, darn near $26,000 to that if you're over age 50. So, I mean, it's not a bad deal, but as far as making the contributions to the personal ones, the ones outside of your employer's qualified plan, yeah, there are some income limits. You can make a contribution to a traditional IRA if you make more than those thresholds, but it will not be deductible. And that's a whole different story. And if you're in, if you're in that income bracket, if you're making that kind of money, you've got a tax advisor around you, you've got an investment advisor around you, somebody that is able to guide you through these, you know, through these perils and, you know, and different types of accounts and what you can make a contribution to and what you can't and the highest and best use of that contribution. I think you almost asked the question and maybe that was the follow-up, but when should you make a contribution to one versus the other? If you're making a lot of money and you're under that threshold, you want the immediate tax deduction. You want to reduce your immediate taxes for that year. And I'm talking about federal income taxes specifically. So if you are making a contribution and you're making a lot of money, I'm going to tell you to probably make it to the traditional IRA and take the immediate tax deduction. The other side of that is somebody young. They're in their early part of their career. The income tax deduction is not as attractive if you're making, say, perhaps $50,000 a year, okay? At $50,000 married filing jointly, you're in the 12% tax bracket. It's not a great tax deduction. So in that instance, I would make the contribution to the Roth. It all depends on where you are in life, how much you're making when it comes to where or what bucket to make the contribution to.
So those are the differences between those two IRAs, the
right.
traditional and the Roth. Okay.
Correct.
So why wouldn't everybody, I guess, choose a Roth IRA, especially if it's not taxable?
Yeah, the whole reason is, you know, when we say all these things, when we, we're not trying to sell anything. We're trying to sell the idea of putting money away for retirement. And when we say, how would you like to put this money in an account? You never pay taxes on the interest, the dividends, the capital gains. At retirement age, even when you pull it out, if you choose to pull it out, because there are no RMDs with a Roth, you don't pay taxes on it. How does that sound? Everybody's sign me up right now. Well, here's the rub. You can only contribute $6,000 per year to a Roth IRA. And that is if you are under age 50. Of course, you get another $1,000 bump if you're over age 50. And you can contribute a grand total of $7,000 to that personal Roth IRA. And you must make under whatever it is for married filing jointly, $198,000, I think, right now, is where the phase out begins. And then if you're single, it's far less. And I don't have those numbers memorized, but you have to fall within the income guidelines, okay? You do have to have a job. So to make that contribution of $6,000 or $7,000, you have to have made at least that amount. So as far as choosing that depends on your taxes now and in the future. And then as you just asked, why isn't everybody contributing as much as they can to a Roth IRA? I hope they are. But, again, the rub is you can only contribute up to $6,000 or $7,000, depending on your age.
So when contributing, go over why and also when to put money in a Roth or traditional IRA.
Right. It's certainly something you probably don't want to go alone unless it's terribly, terribly clear. Let me give you an example. I have a friend. Connie and I were with he and his wife last night. Their son is back from the University of Alabama. He just started a job. He is working for the summer only. He's going to make about $12,000 this summer. That will be his only income for the year. So at $12,000, you know, with his standard deduction of $12,000, he's not going to be paying any taxes, right? So if he's paying any taxes, it's very little. I can't honestly say that he won't make any other money for the rest of the year, and I can't say he's going to make $12,000 this summer. But let's say it's $12,000. I was telling my friend, look, he needs to contribute to a Roth IRA. He has no tax problem. He sure doesn't want to contribute to a traditional because he's the deduction is meaningless. It doesn't he has no incentive to contribute to a traditional IRA because of how little he's making. So the easy decision here is open a Roth IRA, contribute to a Roth IRA. You get no tax deduction, who cares? You're not making much anyway. And forever, that account, you'll never pay taxes on it, even when you pull it out. So that's sort of the easy decision there. The tough decision gets to be when you have a married couple, they're making $150 a year. It sounds great. Well, you know, maybe they're in their 40s, you know, maybe they're even younger. Maybe they're in their 30s. And it's pretty attractive to make a contribution to an account that will never be taxed again, you know, the Roth IRA. But a tax advisor and a financial advisor such as me would probably say, you know, how important is the immediate tax deduction taking, you know, 7 and 7, you know, oh, they're not over 40 or they're not over 50. I apologize. 6 and 6, $12,000. $12,000 if you're in the 25%, or, you know, if you're in the 20% tax bracket, you know, the $12,000, that's $2,400 in your pocket by making the deductible contribution to the traditional IRA as opposed to the Roth IRA. So, again, what's the message here? Consult your tax advisor, certainly. And also, your financial advisor is going to have a very good idea. You know, your financial advisor does not prepare your taxes. If you prepare your own taxes, you know, certainly make a call, consult your financial advisor, and make a decision which one is the best one to make the contribution to for that year. And you know what? Some years it may be different. You may make more income one year than the other year. And in the years you make more income, you're going to err on the side of making the traditional contribution and making that because of the deductibility of the contribution. So anyway, it the answer to your question, surround yourself with good people, knowledgeable people, and consult with them before making a decision.
Now, let's say I walk into your office later on today, and I'm not even thinking about an IRA. Instead, I'm thinking, you know, I want to put it into an account that can accumulate interest.
Mm-hmm.
What, how would you advise me? If I don't want to do an IRA, I would rather invest into an account that gains interest over time.
Okay. Wow. What a great question. Yeah. I mean, our process, you come in. You know, the first thing we certainly introduce ourselves and you sit down and we want to hear about you. What are your objectives? You know, just tell us, free flow it, right? And what's important to you? You know, where do you want to be? Where are you now? And what are the things that are important to you? Your not necessarily retirement objectives, because you said, this is something right now you want some money, some of your savings to make some money. So the first thing, the most important thing, is to assess your risk tolerance. Okay, Davis comes in. I can see you're young. You know, 27 years old. Hopefully, you have a very high risk tolerance. But what we're going to do is we're going to document that. We're going to have you go through a very brief questionnaire that measures your risk tolerance, because, you know, before you invest anybody's money or even make a recommendation as to how to invest it, you got to find out what their risk tolerance is. Another, you know, probably the biggest factor with one's risk tolerance is someone's age. That is the most important factor. And then, you know, another great question is, how soon do you plan on redeploying this money? In 5 years, do you want to buy a house? In 5 years, do you want to take this trip of a lifetime and stop working and take some sort of sabbatical and spend it all? You know, we just don't know those things. So what is your investment horizon? If you're a 27-year-old man and you don't want to touch it, your investment horizon is what, you know, 50, 60 years, right? So we're gonna err on the side of being aggressive with your money, Davis. Somebody else that comes in, maybe not. But what a great question. What's the process? How do you go through this? We really kind of we sit down. We want to hear about you. What's important to you? You know, somebody may have 3 kids, 1 income, and a huge mortgage. Somebody else may be living at home, very few expenses, no children, and they're able to save money. And, you know, this is just something that they want to grow. So it all depends.
So I know for me, one of my big goals, you mentioned buying a house. Mm-hmm. I would like to buy a house one day. Not right there yet, because I'm not married yet, about to be soon.
How discouraging is that these days? Looking for a house.
Looking for a, oh, I know. I mean, renting is already bad enough.
Yeah.
But now it's just a competitive buyer's market. How many bids are on one house at the same time?
It's crazy.
So in the meantime, I'm looking forward to that day I will buy a house, but I want to prepare for it.
Right.
And so that's where I'm at right now, where putting money aside, of course, while paying bills and doing the things that I have to do. I'm a believer in the Dave Ramsey baby steps.
Yes.
As well. So trying to follow that path.
Yes.
And knock it out one baby step at a time.
Right. And okay, so look what you just said. You've got money, you're saving money, you're saving for down payment on a home. Or, you know, I mean, God love you if you're able to pay cash for a home, but maybe
if I'm trying to pay cash for a home, then I'm saving for a lot longer than right. the pace I'm okay. on right now.
Okay. So you're saving for a home. Your investment horizon is not your life expectancy. So you would never, and look at the market right now. The market is screaming. The market is very, very high. That is the conundrum, Davis, for somebody that wants to redeploy this money and use it for a specific purpose down the road. And I don't know if that's 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, and you know, one of the little side projects we'd need to complete is, at the current rate of savings, at your current income, how long will it take you to amass the down payment that you will need or that you're comfortable with in the purchase of a home? It also depends on, you know, what sort of home, how much, and those sorts of things. And these days, it is exceedingly difficult. But you know what, Davis, on the bright side, I have a daughter in Denver. I've got kids other places. It's still not bad here in Pensacola, Florida. Not like it is in other communities.
Well, you mentioned in Denver, the housing market there isn't really high.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's kind of California prices. So, mm-hmm. yeah, you're still, you know, in the land of plenty, as they say. You're able to get a lot for your money here, but certainly not as much as you could have controlled, you know, a couple of years ago. But you know what? Interest rates are low right now, so that brings the price down, right? Brings your payment down. So there's a lot of good things. So keep your chin up and stay the course, and you'll be able to do it. Everybody have a great week. We will talk with you next week, and thank you for tuning in. Bye now.
What a wonderful